know how the body's going to react or whatever.
I don't want it. The vaccines and everything, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, like we talked about Friday night, that's why we question everything that they do.
So turning to Joshua, the end of Joshua. We read Joshua 29-33. I was going to start our little journey through the book of Galatians this morning, but I decided, instead of who, since we've been through Joshua and spent some weeks in that, to do a review, sort of, on Joshua. And so Joshua 29-33 says, "It came about after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance, in Timnath Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north, on Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt at Shechem, in the piece of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, and they became the inheritance of Joseph's sons. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him at Gibeah of Phinehas, his son, which was given him in the hill country of Ephraim." And so ends the book of Joshua. That entire generation, the first generation who left Egypt, the only ones who were left there were Joshua, Caleb, and Eleazar. And they all die. And thus ends the book of Joshua, with the burial of Joseph's bones. When you look throughout the whole book of Joshua, as we related it, and as we went through that, what's the overlying theme of Joshua? I can tell you what most teach it is, and what most say it's all about. What is Joshua all about?
Conquest.
What's that?
Conquest.
Obedience.
Obedience. We're going to get to that.
Yeah. For sure.
Most what they say is it's all about this. Now I put it up here. The land. God said that the Israelites, he would give them the land of Canaan. Right? And so most say that's what the book of Joshua is about. It's about the land. And then getting the land. Now, Stuart and Patty touched on it. And that is on obedience. But I want us to see this in the context of this. And this is why I chose to preach next to you the book of Galatians. Because it all has to do with this. And this is something that is not taught in our churches. And I've said this before. But it needs to be. And we need to get it drilled into us. And that is this. Joshua, as we read, it's all about this. And it does have to do with obedience, so I'm going to discount that. But it's this. Take off the land. They did receive the land. That is correct. But it's all about this. The promise. The promise. Now, to set the stage of that, we have to go back into Israel's history. And to do that, I just want to read a few verses. The first is found in Genesis 12, because it all has to do, Joshua, remember the sending Galatians, it all has to do with this. The promise. Not just land. Land is was part of it, but it has to do with the promise. The promise of what? The promise of land? Yes. God, Yahweh, promised them land. But that's not the promise. Genesis 12. When Yahweh first called Abram, beginning with verse 1, Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, land of Canaan. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. So you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The promise. When you turn to Genesis chapter 15, once again, Yahweh appears to Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, since you have given no offspring to me, God, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. Now remember that when Abram first left, he was 75 years old. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, in Yahweh, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abram believed that promise. Now we turn to Genesis 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. I am Yahweh. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, that is, exalted father, but your name shall be called Abraham, father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations that you kings will come forth from you. And here we come I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. I will be Yahweh. So that, in essence, with Isaac and Jacob being born, then, is the promise. So when you read, and we, as we discovered, and looking down through the whole book of Joshua, from the beginning to the end, it's not just about land. It's about the promise. That God keeps His promises. In the very beginning of Joshua, we saw that God told Joshua, be strong, be courageous, and you lead my people. And in all of this, what kind of people did God want? He wanted obedient people. He wanted to be holy people. And he set them aside to do that, and he brings them to the promised land, the land of Canaan, when we pick up with Joshua. And we remember the story of that they conquered Jericho. And Achan disobeys. They're defeated at the eye because of that disobedience. Joshua complains to Yahweh about that. Yahweh tells them what the reason is, that they should know that there's sin amongst them. And they take care of that. And God destroyed Achan and all of his family because of that disobedience. But then they go back, and after that's taken care of, and they take off. Remember what happens at Jericho, though? Before they conquer Jericho, Joshua sends out spies. And who do they meet? They meet Rahab.
Yeah. Yes.
And Rahab is a what?
She's
not only a prostitute, but she's also a Canaanite. She's one of those good Canaanites, but yet she shelters the spies, and she tells them that they've heard about Israel, and they've heard about Yahweh. And she asks for her and her family to be saved, and they be saved. But she's a Canaanite. Why would God do that?
She was thankful for his people.
What's that?
She was thankful for his people.
Thankful. Because she believed. She understood, and she made that choice. But she wasn't an Israelite. But yet God saved her. And as we know later on, she's found in the lineage, in the genealogy of Jesus, isn't she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that something?
Yeah.
And Rahab, in effect, was Ruth's great mother-in-law. Because she was Boaz's grandmother. That Rahab was. Not an Israelite, but God saved her. That teaches us, see, and that's what Joshua, and one thing Joshua teaches us, God shows no partiality. Is that in order to be part of the promise,
You don't necessarily have to be an Israelite.
You can be not
an Israelite, and yet God can use you, and you can be part of the Christmas. A lesson for us in that.
Testimony.
You made Jesus found in the genealogy, in the lineage of Jesus. Because you was obedient to him. And faithful to Yahweh and followed him.
That's to teach us that, see, that part of the promise is, part of the promise, it's not for certain ethnic people, not just for one ethnic group, it's not just for the Israelites, it's for everyone, no matter what your nationality is. No matter what you look like. That's why to God, there is no color. There's only one race, and that's human race. And people say, well, you're patronizing, you know, you're being patronizing when you say that. But tell God that. That's the way that we have to think today, and what's not happening in our society and our country?
No, they're going to make changes on
society. People are thinking about that there's one race, and that all those people can be part of the promise. Joshua was not just about the land of Canaan. It was about fulfilling the promise that he gave to Abraham. Now, we go through all of that thing, and God sees. God said, I will drive those people out. And he did, didn't he? 25 years till they had rest. Now, we know that some of those people weren't driven out, were they? Is that God's fault?
No.
It was their fault. Because they chose to keep those people amongst them. Another lesson for us today in regards to the promise. God wants us to drive certain things out of our lives. And not have things to do with certain things in the world. But it's our choice. And he lets us have that choice. He doesn't want certain things in the church. But he will allow it. Because again, he gives people that choice to do so. Just as he did with the Israelites. And we know what happened with the children of Israel because they didn't do it, didn't follow God completely, as they said. And he kept those tensions within them. You find that in the book of Joshua. And it all has to do, again, with this. The promise. Not just of land. God said, I want a holy people. I want an obedient people. But I'm giving you the choice to do so. And that's what he did throughout the whole thing. And that, when we come to the end of Joshua, what Joshua was telling them, I'm old. I'm going to die. He knew he was going to die. 110 years old, it said he died. He knew he wasn't going to be around. That's why he said. And he knew Eliezer. Caleb, he knew that they weren't going to be around forever. So he said, choose you this day who you will serve. Who's it going to be? He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve Yahweh. And he did that throughout the rest of his life. You see that he did that. And the people said that they would do it too. And notice what the end of Joshua says here. that we read, all the days of Joshua, all the days of Eleazar and Caleb, what it says at the end there, Israel served Yahweh. Israel served the Lord all the days. Now notice that. All the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders, all the days of Caleb, who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. All the days of Eleazar, Aaron's son, they served Yahweh. They said they would. They did. What was one thing they did not do?
They didn't get rid of the foreign gods.
Well, that's true. That's true. They didn't get rid of the foreign gods. It's not false. That's true. You have to keep that keeping that in mind, because that was one of their downfalls, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
True.
They didn't have intermarried.
They intermarried. That's true. All the days of Joshua, Caleb, what happened after they died? Why?
Because they lost their faith.
No.
Or because they didn't hand down what they were.
Bingo. All the days, and this is a lesson for us people, as far as the promise goes. All the days of Joshua, all the days of Caleb, all the days of Eleazar, as long as they live, all the days of the elders, as long as the generation lives, they followed Yahweh. One of those people, again,
remember their songs?
What did they forget to do?
They didn't pass it down to the next
Deuteronomy 6. What do God tell them to do? You teach them to your children and their children, and you carry it on. They didn't do that. Who led the people after Joshua and Eleazar? Okay. From what the scripture tells us, we don't know. They had judges that arose, yes. But as we read in the book of Judges, what did they do? What did the people do?
What was right and wrong?
What do we have going on today? Exactly. Why?
So there's nothing wrong with the sun.
Yes. And Renee and Jennifer brought that up earlier this morning. I'm going to get back to that. Reason why is what's happening in our society. The statues being torn down and all that. Because parents, I'm not talking about us here. I'm talking about parents in general in our society. Not paying attention to what's being taught in our school.
Right.
Not paying attention to what was being taught in the colleges.
We had no idea. I had no idea what my daughter was being taught in college and stuff.
And you know, for that, or any for that. But you see, that was the problem. That's the issue. What, honey?
The issue is that it handed over responsibility to the wrong people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was gonna say,
it's the same issue in the churches.
Yeah.
Why does a Bible college go the wrong way? Because they hand over responsibility to the wrong people.
Exactly.
Why does a...
And how many generations? This is crystal clear. You read it in the scriptures, and you see it. You see it in our time. How many generations does it take to lose it? Three.
Well, it's like people saying that, except for the Sunday school teacher to teach a kid.
But you see, that's why it's important, folks, brothers and sisters, why people have to ask questions. Why?
We talked about that, right?
And they're not doing that. See, that's where we got to the point. Why the statues being in the South Front Mountain? And these kids, they don't know what they're doing. They're just following.
They're just following. They have no idea. But what they're taught, or they're getting paid to do it, yes. But it's
following a pattern because parents not paying attention to what's going on. Years and past.
Yeah.
And so now we're here. It's like Jim said, you know, we taught the history of our country and so forth from Howard Finn. And he was a...
Oh, yeah, did you try something?
He was a rascal.
Evil.
Big time.
Evil.
Exactly. And that is filtered down into our colleges and to our schools.
Prayer out of school. That's when
it
started going downhill.
Yes, yes. And you see, in the church, and that's a lesson that Joshua teaches us. See, it's what the people forgot. They didn't prepare.
Well, they're corrupt.
They didn't prepare for after Joshua and Eleazar and Caleb and those elders were gone.
Yeah.
They didn't prepare the next generation.
Right.
That's why you read next Judges where it says, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
Yeah.
And it's happening in our world, in our society today.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately and tragically so, it's even happening in many of our churches. I cannot tell you how many emails and stuff I get about even among the Christian churches and Church of Christ. Well, not none of the churches that we associate with and know of, but there's other churches out there that are, is that they are being, they want to teach about critical race theory. To bring it into the church. How do we deal with that? Well, I'll tell you how we deal with that. We debunk it. That's how. We teach what the Word says.
Right.
See? And that's why, to me, brothers and sisters, it all comes down to this. The promise. What God promised them was not just land. God promised them, you're mine. He promised him, he said, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
I'll drive him out. You be, like he said, that's where God conditions him in.
Yeah.
God said, if you're faithful to me, if you're obedient and faithful to me, I'll be with you. And the promise will be fulfilled. And the promise is fulfilled. It is being fulfilled. What God told Abram, he said, I'll make you a multitude of nations. You need a blessing all over. What was that blessing? Because from the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, came the Messiah, came Christ Jesus, the overall promise. Acts 2:38-39. We often read, and I said this before too, we often read Acts 2.38, but we forget 39. Acts 2.38, Peter said, they were cut to the heart, people were cut to the heart, what should we do? And Peter said, repent, and be baptized, be immersed, for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what he said, wasn't it? But what does Acts 2:39 say? That
tree promise, for the promise is for you and for your children and for those who are off.
Exactly. That's the key, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
That's the key adoption. That's the key for us, and that's what we're going to find out in Galatians, how it centers around the promise. What was the promise?
Forgiveness.
He says the promise is for you and for your children, for all those who are far off. What was the promise?
Be with us.
The promise is
eternal life. Eternal life is part of it. Ultimately, the promise is yes, it's eternal life. But the promise is this, is that God again is saying, I want a holy people. I want a people for my own possession. That's the promise. Is that we will be his people for eternity. And that can only come through, as Peter said, that can only come through Jesus. But you see, the Israelites, their problem was, is that, again, they didn't prepare the next generation. There were some who actually did believe.
And that's part of not being obedient. They were obedient when they didn't teach them.
Exactly. What God told them to do. You teach it to your children, and they teach it to their children, and you carry on. What Jesus said in the Great Commission. He said, as you are going, that's what it literally says, as you are going, make disciples. You make followers of me. You immerse them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you teach them. And you carry it on. You perpetuate it. And brothers and sisters, that's what we have to do in the church. That's what we have to be about. And we have to teach about the promise. The overall promise of all. And that can only come through, that can only come through Jesus. And some of these other things, yes, we need to teach against. But we need to teach our people, our children, our grandchildren, how to combat those through what the Word says. And to teach them to hold on and maintain in the Word. How we counteract those things. Otherwise, we get caught up in what the world is doing. Everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. We in the church can not do that. Make sense? But we're going to see how that promise, the promise is the overall thing. As we begin to go through Galatians. But that, again, that's what Paul's talking about. And it all has to do with us. Not just the Israelites. Not just certain people. But the promise is for those who he purchased his church for. The promise is for those he adds to the church. And only them. The promise is not for everyone. What I mean by that is that it's available to everyone, but not everyone is going to avail themselves of it.
That goes along with the, I think it came from the Bible, many are called but few are chosen.
Yeah. True. Yeah. True. But again, that choice, it's not because God says, okay, this side of the room is, you're out of here.
Yeah.
But this side, I put myself over here, you know. This side of the room, you're in. This side of the room, you're in.
Only if they follow him and his word.
Exactly. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it that way. He lets us.
They're identical.
He lets us choose. He lets us choose whether or not we want to be part of the promise. But it's not there. It's not there for everyone. That's basically, to me, what Joshua is about. And God opened the promise to be part of his people, not just to the Israelites, but he opened that to Rahab as well, and others who were outside of being Israel. So you can't say that just God is particular, you know, as far as people are concerned. He's not. He opens it to all. But it's their choice. As I said before, God says, here's my way. And here's the promise out there for you. But you want the promise? You want to receive the promise that I'm giving you? Then it's my way. And that's being faithful and obedient to me. Following my way. But God says, you want to go your way? By all means, I'll let you. I'm not going to force you to follow my son. I'm not going to force you to go my way. I won't. I'm leaving it. You have free will. But just know in the end that whatever your way is, that's what you get. That's why I tell people, people want to say, well, you believe that God sends people to hell. No, I don't. I don't believe that at all. Exactly. God doesn't send people to hell. They do themselves. When it comes to the end of it, what God's going to say for those people who reject him and who reject his son, what he's going to say is, your will be done.
They choose it.
They choose it, exactly. See? And that's the choice for us. And that's why it's important that we continue to teach these things and we continue on, that we not be like the children of Israel who didn't prepare, who didn't teach. It's our responsibility. The Carson, Brown, Blue City, other youngins, it's our responsibility to teach them what the Word says and carry that on. Why? So that when they have children, and we have grandchildren, as some of them do, that they are taught.
Jennifer. But your children never stop being your children.
Right.
The Bible does not have an age cutoff limit for teaching your children.
Exactly.
So this is what I tell
them.
I tell them, as long as there is a breath in my body, I will fight for your soul.
Good point. Exactly. Amen to that. Exactly. Amen to that. With that, let's stand there with prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for the opportunity we have to gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ, for the discussion, Father, that we've had, and for, Lord, what you can teach us in your word. And indeed, Father, we're so grateful and thankful, Lord, that we are part of the promise, that you have added us to your kingdom, to your Son, Jesus. Father, indeed, may we take these things to heart. Take these things to heart and realize that we must continue on and to teach, to adhere to what your word has to say. Father, for those who question, Father, may we indeed be able to, as your servant, the Apostle Peter said, to defend the faith, but we defend the faith with gentleness and patience. Striving, Father, indeed, to show other people that indeed they can have the promise as well, just as your word says, that it is for us,
for our children, for all those who are far off. Help us take these things to heart now, Lord, as we go throughout our week. Guide and direct us in all things. We praise you and thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, especially for the greatest blessing of all, and that is your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we ask all these things. Amen.